In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthy magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, your bountiful goodness fills all creation. Keep us safe from all that may hurt us, that whole and well in body and spirit, we may with grateful hearts accomplish all that you would have us do. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
From 2 Kings. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Arameans, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became angry and went away, saying, I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, wash and be clean? So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan. According to the word of the man of God, his flesh was restored, like flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsibly. Please read the bold print. Alleluia, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright in the congregation. Majesty and splendor mark your deeds, and your righteousness endures forever. You give food to those who fear you, remembering forever your covenant. The works of your hands are faithfulness and justice. All of your precepts are sure. You sent redemption to your people and commanded your covenant forever. Holy and awesome is your name. A reading from 2 Timothy. Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, a descendant of David? That is my gospel for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of the truth. The word of the Lord.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, Go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he had saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Many of us don't have to use our imaginations of what it feels like to be unwell and kept at a distance. In the last couple of years, many of us have had to quarantine due to having COVID or being exposed to COVID. And what these 10 men in Luke's gospel today have is very contagious, and they need to be quarantined. They need to be kept at a distance. The only way that they could re-enter the community is if they demonstrated that they are healed. As Chris Rupp puts it, something akin to a negative COVID test is needed and able to return to work after coming down with the virus. These 10 men must have heard of Jesus' reputation as a healer, so they cry out to him for healing. And Jesus sends them on their way. And on the way, they are healed. Their skin disease is cured. That should be the end of the story, because the healing in itself is important. We should not underestimate the restoration to the community that these men would have received now that they're healed. But Jesus is offering something more than what's skin deep. People sadly understand faith as something that once you have it, you're going to get something, as opposed to seeing faith as a response to what we've already received. To have faith is to trust. Your ability to have faith in someone, for example, is because of what they've demonstrated to you in the past. That gives you the capability to trust them in the present and the future. Our faith in God is in response to what God has given us already, which gives us the ability to trust God in the present and in the future. 9 of the 10 men don't seem to have that response to what has just happened, to what they've received. Now, it's important to note that Jesus doesn't put any contingency upon them for being healed. He heals them all. There's no strings attached. No condition, no transaction. He freely heals all of them. And in many ways, I feel that the 9 represent how we react to God far too often. When we are in great need, we cry out to God. But when everything in life is running smoothly, we don't think of God much at all at times. At times when we are sick and injured, you ever come down with something where you try to remember what it's like to feel normal, right? I know I have. And in the midst of that, I'm thinking, man, I am never going to take feeling better for granted again. Whether it be an illness or an injury. Sure enough, throughout my life so far, I've been fortunate to fully recover from whatever I've come down with. And I take it for granted the second I'm fully healed, the second I fully recover. The 10 all experienced something in common. They had a common illness that forced them to experience this quarantine, the need to be isolated from their community. Those of us would have experienced this not too long ago, quarantine, the need to be isolated, and felt the hardship and the separation from our friends and family. So the ramifications of physical illness affect more than just our physical being. But again, this separation and restoration that Jesus offers them is only skin deep. The lack of faith that the 9 demonstrate here is evidence of a separation that we have from God. Far too often, we fail to see God as the source of life.
we fail to see God as sustaining us in this life, and we go about our lives putting our faith and trust in other things as a result. For we are reconciled to God not by anything we do, but by what God has done for us in Christ. Just like all the 10 were healed, without them doing anything, we are reconciled to God through the love poured out for us in Jesus Christ on the cross. The cross offers us a bridge to bring us back to God, where we are no longer separated, but in communion with God. For the Holy Spirit shows us Jesus, and Jesus shows us the Father, and then we're brought back into communion with the living God. As we heard in 2 Timothy this morning, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. It sounds like good news, doesn't it? If we are faithless, he remains faithful. And it's the cross that demonstrates that faithfulness. When all 10 men had leprosy, they were in the thick of it together. I'm sure they bonded in their marginalization. But when they were all healed and they went back to life as it used to be, the 9 were probably welcomed fully into their community once they could demonstrate that they were healed. But it's the Samaritan, the foreigner, who probably realized very quickly, once he noticed that he was healed, that he still was not going to be fully integrated and welcomed. Where else was he going to go? Who was he going to turn to? He knew that there was one he could trust to fully heal and restore him to an ultimate place of belonging. And that one is Jesus. That in God's kingdom, there are no borders that can lead to alienation or exclusion. This foreigner turns back and praises God with a loud voice. He prostrates himself at Jesus' feet. And I see this as an act of worship, which should remind and affirm for all of us that worship is first and foremost giving thanks and praise to God for what God has done for us. Now, coming into worship this week, I invited you to ponder some questions. How have you experienced God's mercy throughout your life? What are the times in your life where you yourself have experienced exclusion? What are you grateful for? And how is God calling you to welcome and include others by sharing and embodying the love of Jesus? I hope as we continue to reflect on those questions that it draws us closer to God, and that the Spirit fills us with a need to offer our thanks and praise first and foremost, because Jesus is concerned with our whole being, that we are to be made well in mind, body, and spirit, and that that healing that we receive in Christ is more than skin deep. At our Wednesday meal this past week, one of our regulars was driving through, and our kitchen crew immediately knew who it was. They recognized the car and they recognized the person. Somebody went out to bring them the meal, and they said, "We saw you coming." And she said, "You know my name? You know my name?" This touched her deeply. And it's a testament to how when we share the love of Jesus, it's more than skin deep. The meal itself is important, as the healing of the leprosy is important. It fills her most basic need. But that experience of love, welcome, and inclusion, of belonging, that was filling a spiritual need. After the meal, I was sharing we had a devotion time with those who were serving. And I shared part of this devotion from Richard Rohr. When we start with big universal ideas at the level of concepts and isms, we too often stay there, arguing about theories, forever making more distinctions. At that level, the mind is totally in charge. It's easier to love humanity then, but not any individual people. We defend principles of justice, but can't muster up the courage to live fully just lives ourselves. It's easier to say that we're called to love all people, but it's harder to love individual people. It's easier to make proclamations about justice in the world, but it's harder to embody those principles of justice in your daily life. Yesterday, Saturday, we had our walk to end Alzheimer's. And it's in walking with those who are living with, who have succumbed, walking in support of those who care for those with the disease. It's in the vastness of those impacted who are crying out with a loud voice for help, for mercy, that we as a people would have the wherewithal to be committed to supporting them, to developing treatments, and even a cure with anyone touched by this disease. But you know what motivates people to get involved? Individual stories. You ask people why they're walking, and they talk about a person. Not the statistics that we see, all people affected by this, but it's a spouse, it's a grandparent, it's a sibling, it's a friend called to love and make well individual people that Christ puts in our lives. Look at the quilts that are draped around the pews. Lutheran World Relief will have statistics about how these quilts were used throughout the world. But each one of those is going to keep an individual person, or maybe a family of persons, warm when they need it. These are people created in the image and likeness of God. These are the people that we're called to serve, whether they come to pick up a meal here in Cardington or receive a blanket in Cambodia. Called to share that love, to make sure that all people are made well and have their most basic needs met, that the daily bread that God desires for all of us to have would break through, because our sinfulness and brokenness as a humanity prevent that from happening. So if we can regularly call to mind those times that we received God's mercy, that we ourselves have experienced exclusion, to remember how painful that was, or how gracious it was to be included, to be loved, to receive that mercy. May it motivate us to love individuals, and not just the idea of loving all people, and then saying, well, that's too hard, and step away. And in word and sacrament, when we receive the unconditional love of Jesus Christ that continues to feed us and nurture us with God's mercy, may we become what we eat. The body of Christ in the world, hungering for love, hungering to be made well. Individually and collectively, as we are made well in Christ through the work and love of Christ, our mission, individually and collectively, is to extend God's mercy to others. Our mission is to ensure that others are well, that all would have what they need and to be sustained in life. Our mission is to embody and to share the love of Jesus and offer them a foretaste of all that is to come. And it is a love without borders or barriers. It is a love that offers people a place that they belong to now, forever. Beloved children of God, we gather to offer our thanks and praise. Our God continues to feed us and bless us. So as you get up from this place and go on your way today, know that your faith, that faith given to you by the Holy Spirit, has made you well. Go forth trusting the one who you will encounter along the way, the one who is faithful even when you are faithless. And as you go on your way, share the love of Jesus that offers spiritual healing, physical healing, that gives each of us, all of us, a place with God. Now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In gratitude and humility, let us join together in prayer on behalf of all God's creation. Gracious God, we give you thanks for bishops and pastors. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, our Stephen ministry, and all who minister in Christ. Inspire leaders of the church to proclaim your mighty deeds, that your saving faith may be known to all. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Majestic God, we give you thanks for land and water, seed time and harvest. Break down boundaries we construct between ourselves and the rest of your creation. Bring renewal and restoration to places affected by pollution and deforestation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Almighty God, we give you thanks for those in our community, nation, and world who work for justice and peace. Guide those who govern to act on behalf of those marginalized by race, ethnicity, or religion. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Merciful God, we give you thanks that you hear the cries of those in need. Restore to community those who are stigmatized by illness, feel rejected, or who live in isolation, sending healing to all who suffer, especially Tracy, Maddie, Scott, Marjorie, Pat,
Andrea, Pat, Debbie, Candace,
Betty, Regina, Stan, Barb, Jerry, Phyllis, Cheryl, George, Lucas, John, Cindy,
Leah,
Carol, Mark, and our homebound. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Faithful God, we give you thanks for the healing ministries of this congregation. Equip those who visit, care, and pray for the sick. Give insight to doctors, nurses, home health aides, and all practitioners of medical arts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Holy God, we pray for those in our armed services, especially Cade and Luke and their chaplains. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Eternal God, we give you thanks for your faithful people who have gone before us to your glory. Renew our trust in your eternal promises of mercy, redemption, and new life. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
With grateful hearts, we commend our spoken and silent prayers to you, O God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated. We continue with the offer.
Let us pray. God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need, through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, endless is your mercy and eternal your reign. You have filled all creation with light and life. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. We praise you for the grace shown to your people in every age, the promise to Israel, the rescue from Egypt, the gift of the promised land, the words of the prophets, and at this end of all the ages, the gift of your Son, who proclaimed the good news in word and deed and was obedient to your will, even to giving his life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, O God, with this bread and cup, we remember the life our Lord offered for us. And believing the witness of his resurrection, we await his coming in power to share with us the great and promised feast.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Send now, we pray, your Holy Spirit, that we who share in Christ's body and blood may live to the praise of your glory and receive our inheritance with all your saints in light. Join our prayers with those of your servants of every time and every place, and unite them with the ceaseless petitions of our great high priest until he comes as victorious Lord of all. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory,
forever.
Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite forward anyone participating in Children's Church today and our communion assistants. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I'll be in the center aisle with the consecrated host. We'll have two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, that'll be on the pulpit side. An usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. We have an announcement for the good of the community that this Monday's Bible study is all on Zoom. There'll be a link sent out for that. As Christ sends us out into the world, let's recite the mission God has given us. I invite the congregation to extend a hand of blessing on the quilts as we do this rite of blessing and sending. A reading from Acts. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. God, our neighbors around the world are in need of hope. Your Spirit is a mighty force. Your whispers of hope bring light into the world. Open our hearts and hands to see your presence in our neighborhoods and across the world. God, we give you thanks for the pieces of fabric, thread, sewing machines, and the items collected for the kits. May their presence be a sign of hope. May these quilts wrap our neighbors in unending love, and may these kits offer dignity and healing.
Jesus, help us reach out in hope to our neighbors.
God, we give thanks for all the hands that fashioned hope into a quilt. For the hands that collected and sorted, for the hands that continually open wider so that no one feels left out. God, we give thanks for those that knitted crocheted and sewed for our baby kits, those who shopped, sorted, and packed our school kits. God, we ask you to guide the staff and partners at Lutheran World Relief. May their voices and hands be a beacon of hope. Keep them safe. Keep them filled with your strength and perseverance.
Jesus, help us share their peace
and hope with our neighbors. God, be with our neighbors who will receive these gifts. May they be wrapped in love. May they taste your goodness. May they touch signs of your hope. Whether or not we know their names or where they live, they are our neighbors, our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, the one who is our hope.
Amen.
Recognizing God's abundant hope, go and be a sign of hope to our neighbors near and far, offering hands to hold, sweet scents of justice, and a feast of God's goodness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue with our sending hymn.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.